Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Got a couple guests for you coming up. Clinton Yates at 11 o'clock. Dave McMiniman will join us at 11:30. So we got a number of things to discuss with those two particular gentlemen. This segment, of course, brought to you by our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. Man, get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So, man, do we got a lot of stuff to get into with you. So, basically, with the NBA, we've got ourselves a situation where the NBA may have a plan for you, a full-fledged plan, come June 1st. So come June 1st, we may have an actual outline and answers as to how the hell all of this stuff is going to happen. So the questions to me are this. Like, when you're looking around the NBA, what do you need to work out? When will teams be back? When will you play the regular season? All those things. I get playing term. All those things are things that you're going to have to figure out and decide. So we'll get to some of those details. I've got some thoughts on how they should handle all that stuff in a second. But first, let me start real quick with Jared Dudley. So Jared Dudley did a Zoom call yesterday. Jared Dudley spoke to the media yesterday. Dave McMiniman wrote the story. That's why we're going to talk to Dave at 11:30. But there was one thing in particular that Jared Dudley said that kind of, I don't want to say freaked me out a little bit, but I would say it was concerning. Let's hear what Jared had to say.
And that's a great question. I think that people are getting a misconception. It's going to be a bubble in a sense of, hey, here's going to be your hotel where you stay at. Here's going to be the gym where you're playing at. But you will be allowed to leave. Michelle Roberts have said it, and even Adam Silver on the conference call. Now, just because you leave, you know, like, if we're going to give you that leeway, if you come back with corona, you can't play. So we're going to be tested all the time. And so it would be smart of teams. So like Braun, AD, and all the top guys that we have, we'll be wrapping them in bubble and not letting them go anywhere. Let's just be honest. They can't leave. And so and you would want that to be a team rule. Now, it won't be a league and NBA rule, but you'd want to say, listen, guys, we've come too far. We're going to put our family on hold. Some will have family members come. I don't expect it to be initially. I expect it to be after a week or two, and then eventually they'll be tested. And I just think that it's something we have to sacrifice. I mean, there's a lot of money at stake. There's a lot of stuff for fans. I think we owe it to fans to be able to play. I think there's a lot of Laker fans that want to see us play, and we can bring hope and bring comfort and enjoyment and entertainment. But I think people are going to be okay with it. Some people with newborns, it might be a little difficult. I know Giannis voiced a concern about that, but I just think that once you put it in perspective, man, this is something that everyone wants to finish.
Oh, that ends very abruptly. This is something. Pause. Anyhow, the part that was clearly concerning to me and should be concerning to everyone involved is, quote, you will be allowed to leave the bubble. What? Like, what are we talking about here? And he goes on to say, now, just because you leave, if we're going to give you that leeway, if you come back with corona, you can't play. Sure, I get that. And is he saying, like, am I missing out here? It sounds like he's saying to me, and that's why I want to talk to Dave, that if you come back with corona, you're done. Like, for the season. Which is why guys have to be diligent and say to themselves, we're not going to leave the bubble. But just the fact that that is even possible to me, I don't even understand why the NBA Players Association feels the need to potentially put their own players in harm's way. Like, what the hell are we talking about here? Why on God's earth would you need to leave the bubble campus atmosphere? I think if anything, if you do that, that's just irresponsible. It's irresponsible of the NBA Players Association, if that's the case, if that's what they want. It's irresponsible of a particular player, if he leaves. And yes, I know Jared talked about it would be, quote, somewhat selfish. Somewhat selfish? It would be totally selfish. And I know he alluded to that every team's got their Rodman or whatever, and that, you know, they just don't have blue or green hair. Sure. Okay, fine. Well, you know what? This isn't Rodman leaving in the finals to go to the WCW to wrestle with Hulk Hogan. This is, it could put people's lives at stake. Okay, yes, I understand that most people that are younger and healthy will be fine if they contract coronavirus. But what about some of the coaching staff? What about some of the trainers who are not all spring chicken? Like, I just think that if you're doing this, it is not somewhat selfish. And I'm not trying to admonish Jared Dudley here, so don't get it twisted. I'm not trying to kill the messenger. I'm just saying anyone who would even think along those lines would be unbelievably selfish. I don't even understand how anyone can do that. So, yes, there would be added pressure not to leave because you don't want to contract the virus, but you sure as hell don't want to contract it and potentially spread it to other people. So I don't get what the point of having a campus bubble atmosphere if you're going to leave. If you're going to do it at Walt Disney World, you have 40 miles of radius, of land, of 25 resorts, of things to do. You're not going from the arena to the hotel. The whole point of Disney World in Orlando is that you could potentially just be outside and do stuff and, I don't know, hang out by the pool or whatever you want to do inside those confines. Because in Vegas, you run a much bigger risk. Because, yeah, you could do some of that stuff in the hotel, but you can't really leave the hotel property. And yes, those hotel properties are big, but not as big as Walt Disney World. It's not 40 miles each resort in Vegas. Maybe it's a couple miles. So you've got plenty of room to roam and not feel confined. Why is it so hard to get the NBA Players Association or even a player to even agree to just say, okay, cool, we won't leave the confines of Walt Disney World. We'll just roam around the property. That enough should be fine. And by the way, if it were up to me, you know what I would do. I've already pushed that you should do 2 weeks of your last 2 weeks of training camp at Walt Disney World. That way, once guys arrive, you can test everyone. And if they are positive when they arrive, you can quarantine them. And perhaps they don't miss games. There's a much less likelihood that they would actually miss games that matter. So, you know, I feel like the NBA Players Association here is rolling the dice. And it's unnecessary if that's the case. And I get it's a bargain, right? Like, you're bargaining here, and if you're Adam Silver, sometimes you're going to have to give a little bit and just hope that everyone is responsible. But let's face it. I hope that the 450 players are responsible, and the coaches and the training staff and all that, you know, so we're talking about like close to 1,500, 2,000 people are responsible. But all it takes is one or two. So I just don't know how to feel about that. Like, I don't love it, that's for sure. So the other thing is, as I mentioned, is what the hell needs to happen with the NBA to get to this point. The union obviously needs to sign off on this. So they need to kind of figure this part out. Hopefully, the parameters are a little different than what Jared Dudley described. Because my guess is, with the backlash, both sides, the NBA and the Players Association, have to kind of figure this out a little bit. But more importantly, when it comes to games, which is what I think most of the fans care about, not to say that you don't care about people's health, but when it comes to the actual games, what will the format and structure look like? Are you playing regular season games? Will all the teams be back if that's the case? Are you going to have a play-in tournament? Is it fair to have a play-in tournament? If you're the Dallas Mavericks, like, how pissed are you if you have to play in a play-in tournament as the seventh seed? You've outplayed everyone below you by a decent margin. How many teams are in this play-in tournament? Are you just bringing back playoff teams? How long will each series last? When you get to the playoffs, there's a lot of questions to be answered here. And if you ask me, you already know how I feel about the whole bubble part of it. But I would not bring all the teams back. I would not do a play-in tournament. If you want to do a play-in tournament for the eighth seed, maybe. I would do 8 and 9. I think the 7 seeds, for the most part, are pretty cemented. And again, if I were those organizations, I'd be furious. But that's it. I would maybe only do a play-in tournament for the 8 seed. And that's it. But my suggestion would be just do playoff teams. And then if you just do playoff teams, then you can do the 7-game series. Because you can actually do them at a faster clip. If you're all in this campus bubble atmosphere, you can play games every other day. You don't need the 3 or 4 days off between games because all the games are going to be on TV anyway. You could do them much faster, the first round specifically. The other thing that people are all up in arms about, and we talked about this at the end of the show yesterday with Mama Momo, who was on with us, and we always thank her for joining us, and I was talking about it during crosstalk with the guys, is the Paul Pierce stuff. Now, I love Paul, but Paul and LeBron, they got beef. So Paul, on Tuesday, recorded an NBA countdown video for ESPN, and him and Jalen and Jay Williams and Maria Taylor were talking about your all-time top five, and here's what Paul said.
Yeah. Bill Russell built up the organization in Boston. Should get way more credit than we give him. And a lot of times he gets left out of the conversation. So in saying that, Kareem, look at the names that I said. Kareem, Magic, Jordan, Tim Duncan, Kobe, Bird. These guys are all top 10 players who would either help build up their organization or continue the tradition.
And Paul,
from LeBron, he went and put together a team in Miami.
I think there's
he came back to Cleveland to put that team together. And then he went to the Lakers, where a tradition has already been made, and we don't know, that's still to be continued. So in saying that, that's my argument.
All right, thanks. That's it. We'll stop there. Look, again, I love Paul. I work with Paul. Paul is cool as hell, okay? But this is wild. First of all, we're just forgetting the first 8 years of LeBron's life where his best player on a finals team was, next best player on a finals team was Larry Hughes. Or the teams that lost to those Celtics teams where the next best player was Mo Williams. Like, come on. Let's be real. Like, LeBron got to a finals at 22 years old with Larry Hughes. Think about that for a second. And beat a Detroit Pistons team that had been to 6 straight Eastern Conference Finals and had been to 2 finals. So let's not just dismiss the first part of his career as a young man. Then he went to Miami. As I told the guys earlier, he went to Miami because you guys had Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. Because those guys forced a deal to play together. KG rejected the original overture from the Celtics, but once they got Ray Allen, KG was like, now I got a chance to win a championship. And just because it didn't happen to be a free agency doesn't mean you guys didn't put your team together. Come on. That's like semantics. And then he went back to Cleveland and put a team together. I mean, really, they traded for Kevin Love. Kyrie was already there. And so what? You guys traded for Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. Like, what are we talking about here? And yes, he came to the Lakers, and they have a history. But so did Kareem, and he had won a championship before somewhere else, just like LeBron. And no one's knocking Kareem. Kareem's on his list. That part, to me, I just don't get. Like, I don't understand it. Like, look, it's personal. And Kendrick Perkins laid it out. And if you haven't heard Kendrick Perkins' comments, I know I mentioned him during Crosstalk, but you can hear it from the man himself, a man who played with Paul Pierce. We'll have that on the other side. I want to take your calls on this Jared Dudley Zoom call about players being able to leave the bubble. What do you think about that? Also, what do you think of Paul Pierce's top five without LeBron? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. So we'll get into that. We'll hear from Kendrick Perkins. The Rams, also, I want to get to them in a little bit. They're taking a page out of the Niners book. We'll tell you what that's about. All coming up in just a moment here on the Sedano Show. Happy birthday, Biggie. We miss you. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quote, home insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So I want to get to this Paul, the Kendrick Perkins sound about why Paul Pierce and LeBron don't love each other and the genesis of that. So we'll get to that in a second. But first, I was watching last night, Greg and Laura, excuse me, I was flipping around last night. I like to watch movies on the way to bed just because I don't want to think too hard, as we've talked about recently. So I was flipping around. I like to watch an old movie. Like I don't want to watch something new because something new will get me to think. And again, that's just, I want something simple, something I don't have to think, something I've seen probably a million times. And that way I just enjoy it. I can go to bed happy. And yesterday I came across a movie I really like called The American President with Michael Douglas and Annette Bening. Have you guys seen that movie before?
Yeah, it's a good movie. I've only seen it once, but it was good.
Yeah, I've only seen it once also. But
it is a great movie. It has a great speech. The speech at the end, near the end, is fantastic by Michael Douglas. So anyway, I started to think, I think that might be the only romantic comedy ever, though, with a president. There's definitely that. But I started to wonder, like, who are some of the best TV or movie presidents in the history of film and television? And like the list, there's a lot of people that have played the president of the United States in a lot of ways. Okay, so you have Selina Meyer, right?
She's great.
Yeah, Julia Louis-Dreyfus has Andrew Shepherd, obviously. Michael Douglas. You have David Palmer, the character David Palmer plays in 24, right? Which is Pedro Serrano, right? Who else? What's his face from Independence Day, right?
Oh, yeah, he was great in that too.
What's his name? Well, what's the actor's name in Independence Day? His name.
Jesus. Give me 1 second.
This is not going as swimmingly as I thought. Anyway, there's Martin Sheen, who's also, by the way, in The American President. Martin Sheen in The West Wing, right?
Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman is Independence Day, right, where he's a pilot and he flies to kill the aliens with Will Smith or whatever, this, that, and the other. Yeah, like I think he's in that conversation. Jack Nicholson is also a president in Mars Attacks. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Mars Attacks is a ridiculous movie. What about Dave from
Terrible?
Dave?
Kevin Kline. Yeah. That's a decent one.
And a romantic.
How about Harrison Ford, Air Force One?
Oh, yeah.
I have one. Who? Don't make fun of me, though. Chris Rock. I love Head of State.
I didn't remember that Chris Rock did Head of State. Like, I forgot about that movie because it wasn't a very good movie.
I
love that movie.
Head of State?
I did. It was funny. It was very funny.
Oh, I agreed with you, Greg. See? Give me some.
Look at that, Greg. She actually agreed with you. You're always been. You want to tell people how upset, how bent out of shape you were because you sent some video that I thought wasn't that funny, and then Laura thought it was just mildly funny, and you were like, oh, you just agree with George all the time.
Why you got to make everything? Why you got to be condescending about it? About how I was not being, I was not upset about it. I was laughing the entire time, and this is what happened. I sent a video this morning that I thought was hysterical, and I posted it on my Twitter. Laura said, "Oh yeah, it was funny. I was dying during it." And then George goes, "I didn't think that was that funny."
She goes,
"It wasn't that funny."
No, that's not what happened. So what exactly happened was I said it was funny. The longer version you sent was not funny, and I wasn't dying from it. That's what I said. But you only heard that I agreed with George.
Oh, you're saying Greg has selective hearing?
Huh. Yeah.
Interesting.
There is a difference of opinion on how this all went down.
All right. So that's fine. So anyway, to me, if I was thinking, like, if I had to narrow it down, David Palmer is a good one, though. Dennis Haysbert from 24. So, like, I think Andrew Shepherd is in the top. He's a top five. Since we're doing Paul Pierce top five, I think Andrew Shepherd. I think Josiah Jed Bartlett, Martin Sheen is in the top five. I think Harrison Ford, Air Force One. Get off my plane. I think that's a top five. And then the question begins, like, man, like, do you go with your boy Bill Pullman? Do you go with Kevin Kline in Dave? Right, like that. Now all of a sudden, Veep, Selina Meyer, right? Like, where? Like, if we're going for sure, okay? If I'm definitely putting Andrew Shepherd in there because of the movie that I saw yesterday, Michael Douglas, and I'm putting Haysbert in there, okay, as 24. So, and you got to put West Wing in there, so you got to put in Martin Sheen, and I'm going Harrison Ford. Who's five out of this group? Kevin Kline as Dave, Bill Pullman as the Independence Day president, or Selina Meyer Veep?
It's Selina Meyer. Selina Meyer is the correct answer in this situation. Okay. She was fantastic in that role and was just hysterical. Yeah, you know, and we'd like to have a female president in there too.
So 877-710-ESPN. If you think we're missing someone, if you think we're shunning someone, if you think we've ranked them improperly, our top five, hit us up on the television and movie presidents, 877-710-ESPN. All right, so speaking of top fives, we've been talking about Paul Pierce's top five. And he left out LeBron. And people want to know why he's left out LeBron. Well, Kendrick Perkins was a teammate of both LeBron and Paul Pierce. And he laid it out on Hoop Streams with Cassidy Hubbard and our buddy Amin Al-Hassan. Here's what Kendrick Perkins had to say.
Here's the thing. Paul Pierce's list is personal, right? Because we don't talk about this enough, but Paul and Bron have never liked each other since Bron's rookie year. Here's a backstory to this real quick, and then you could understand why LeBron is not on Paul's list. We're playing in Columbus, Ohio, my rookie season, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Now, you know, when LeBron was coming into the league, he was getting a lot of heat from players. His first preseason game is against Paul Pierce. So Paul is talking noise to the bench, right? He's talking big noise to the Cavs bench, and they're sitting over there. Bron and them, they all sitting over there, Drew Gooden and everybody. So Paul actually spits over there at the bench, right? The ultimate disrespect, okay? It ended up turning up. I mean, after the game, I mean, both teams were meeting in the back. We had the guys was ready to fight. We had to hold people back. Like, it went up from there. Ever since that moment.
And it was a clear spit. It wasn't a Rajon Rondo spit.
Clear spit. Ever since that moment, LeBron James and Paul Pierce hate each other. They don't speak to each other, even now today. I don't know if you remember, Cassie, we was doing Hoop Streams in Houston against the Lakers. You remember LeBron walked by us and said something before his pregame shots? He did not speak to Paul. That's the backstory. So I think Paul list is kind of more personal towards LeBron than just saying, because it's no way in hell that you could say LeBron James is not top five. You may not have him as your GOAT, but to say that he's not top five, that's just crazy. And I love Paul, but that's kind of, I think it's more personal than anything.
So that's the backstory. It's a great story and great storytelling by Perk, who is a great storyteller. But there is nothing more disrespectful to a person, even if it doesn't actually hit them, but even trying to spit in their direction. Is that because I love Paul, but I feel like that is the ultimate sign of disrespect, right? Like, even if you're just spitting in someone's direction, as one thing is if you're doing it and you're not doing it purposefully, but clearly that was done purposefully. There's nothing more disrespectful, Bergman, correct?
No, it is the ultimate disrespect. I mean, that's why it got so big between Rondo and Chris Paul. Was it 2 years ago now?
Right. Yeah. Laura, has that ever happened to you? Has anyone ever dared to disrespect you in that way? Do you believe there's any worse disrespect than that?
Ooh, no one has ever done that to me, and I've never done that to anyone because I do think that's a very huge disrespect. And I think, well, for me, slapping a guy, I think that's also very, like, touching someone's face, like slapping someone's also very disrespectful.
Touching someone's face is pretty disrespectful. Yeah. I would say, there is a different light that goes off in, at least in my head, if someone touches my face, right? And particularly someone, even if it's someone I like, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a line and you may have just crossed it, but because I like you, we're just going to leave it at this, okay? We're just going to have a stern warning here. But I would say, like, if you had to rank the things you could do to disrespect someone the most, right, that are physical acts. I mean, obviously punching someone in the face is obvious. So beyond something like that, like, spitting has got to be a number one seed. I would say touching someone's face is a two seed in that category for sure. Let's go to Tim in Pasadena. Tim, what's up? Hello, Tim. All right, let's go to Karan in Van Nuys. Karani there.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to mention Jamie Foxx as the president in a good movie.
Which movie was that?
I can't remember the name. That's the sad part.
Well, that's not good enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't make the list if you can't even remember the damn movie.
I'm so sorry, man. I was just happy to call in and mention that one. I think
there's
a guy.
White House Down.
White House Down? I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one, though, but you can watch that one, okay? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, man, for sure. Stay safe. Let's go to Robert in the LBC. Robert, what's up?
Joe, what's going on?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I knew this was coming. I usually don't have the cap time to call in, but today I chose to listen because I knew as soon as somebody left your beloved LeBron out of your top five, you would do a whole hour around this thing. I knew you would do this. I knew you would. And in fact, I don't care what Kendrick Perkins said. I had this same top five over a year ago. This is my same top five. And I agree with Paul 100% regardless of what Kendrick Perkins says or what everybody says. I have the same top five. That's just my opinion.
So you're telling me, Robert, you're telling me that the Robert in the LBC top five is exactly like Paul, like Paul Pierce's. Yep.
Except I have Magic. I have Kobe in front of Magic. That's just my opinion. We all have one, but it was exactly the same even before he said this.
By the way, I think it's funny that you call him my beloved LeBron, because LeBron does not feel like I'm his beloved or he's my beloved by any stretch of the imagination. All right, Robert. Thank you, man. We got to roll. Oh, man. Good Lord. Let's grab Tim again in Pasadena. Tim, what's up? Tim, are you there? Oh, for the love of God, Tim. We're done with you.
We're not going with Tim in Pasadena.
No more Tim in Pasadena. You have been, your privileges have been revoked on calling for at least today.
Making me look bad twice, Tim. Twice.
I mean, for the love of God. This is why Bergman hates taking calls. And it's funny because Bergman, actually the other day, for all you callers out there and all you listeners who think Bergman hates calls, he actually for once the other day said, you know what? The calls on this show aren't that bad. They're actually pretty good, most of them. You admit it on the air now, Bergman. You actually said those words. Now you're not going to talk?
Oh, now you're. Geez. No, of course, that's a perfect time for my mute button not to work. I did say those words. And I think what's happening with Laura is the same thing that happened to me back in our Fox days with the spitters. I think Tim is messing with her. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do. I'll tell that story, what that means, because that's completely out of context. Right out of left field. People are like, what? Spitters? What are you talking about? Still talking about Paul Pierce and LeBron? We'll get to that coming up in just a second. We'll take more of your calls on your favorite TV movie president, 877-710-ESPN. We'll talk about Pierce's top five. Robert in the LBC knew I would be talking about my beloved LeBron. So we'll get to that. And I didn't get to the Rams. The Rams taking a page out of the Niners book. We'll get to that. Stick around. And, oh, actually, Bergman, you know what? There is a story about spitting I want to get to. And it includes your beloved baseball. And we'll talk about a Major League Baseball manager who made a stunning, ridiculous comment about returning. And it was about the spitting stuff. So we'll tell you about that in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you miss any one of our interviews ever, all week long, at any point, check out the entire interview on demand section on the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One Venture Card. When you earn unlimited double miles in every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. What's in your wallet? Dave McMiniman, as you heard the big voice say, is coming up at 11:30. Before that, Clint Yates will stop by at around, is it 10:55?
11.
All right. So, Bergman, you kind of teased something. We teased a lot of things. We did like a triple tease. But you had mentioned that you think Tim in Pasadena is messing with Laura and messing with us. And you mentioned something called the spitters. And so when I used to host a overnight show on Fox in my 20s, I used to host from 2004 to 2007, I used to host their late night show. And Bergman was one of my producers. And one summer, you know, kids are up late in the summer and they're listening, whatever, you know, that back in those days, they're still listening to radio, right? And we used to have like a goofy, fun show, kind of like we have now, but I would say even sillier than what we do now. And there were these kids that would call in, and you could tell they were kids, probably like in high school or something. And they would call in and they'd start talking about the Cubs or whatever they were. They were from like Chicago or something. And then in the middle of their rant, they would just go and then hang up the phone. And it was just like, what? So the first couple times, I'm like, what is going on here? And then after like two or three times, we figured out that what they were doing. And it was like a group of friends. And we just started calling them the Spitters. And so we were always like suspect of any younger person in the audience calling from Illinois to talk about the Cubs at that particular point. And then eventually we had them on and they explained that they really loved the show and they were doing it to have fun with each other, but they appreciated how we were having fun with them because we started playing rejoins of them doing it. It was funny. So that's what you were referring to. So you think Tim is doing that except not spitting.
Right. Yeah, he's just not spitting. He's just calling Laura and he's being like, I want to talk about whatever TV presidents. And then once he gets on, he just puts it on mute. It's like, I'm not going on.
So you think he's pulling shenanigans on us? Okay, fine.
Yes.
So anyway, speaking of spitting, it's a perfect segue. Before I get to the calls, because Tim apparently is there. And Tim, it's three strikes and you're out. Okay, you're banned. All right. Gabe Kapler of the rival San Francisco Giants said this, Greg Bergman. You asked me the other day, who's saying it's going to be a problem to not have sunflower seeds, to not spit? Well, Gabe Kapler said, hold my beer, or in this case, hold my spit cup, because he said, quote, it will be a tremendous challenge to not spit. Okay, now let me explain something to you, okay? Finding a cure for cancer is a tremendous challenge, okay? Overcoming this pandemic is a tremendous challenge, all right? Climbing Mount Everest is a tremendous challenge. Not spitting, Greg Bergman, is not a that is not a tremendous challenge.
No, look, it's pretty ridiculous that he did this, but I'm going to protect him in one way. Has there anything that you have ever tried to quit and you just couldn't do it? Did you ever smoke cigarettes and then you decided you just weren't able to?
No. So here, I will give you a perfect example. Since we were just referring to when you and I used to work together well, you didn't work with me from 2004 to 2007, but you were one of my producers during that time. Right. And early on when I started doing that shift in 2004, I was a Red Bull drinker and a caffeine drinker. Okay. And somewhere after like the first year, so you hadn't even been on the show yet. It was Marcel Hall, who's my buddy, who's been on the show before. He's called in before. He's a big USC fan. And I stopped caffeine cold turkey. And to be honest, for the most part, I've stopped cold turkey ever since. Now, there's probably been like maybe like a handful of times in a year where I'll have some like a cup of coffee. But even when I have a cup of coffee, just one cup of coffee, like I'm awake for hours. And like I have trouble sleeping because I don't drink caffeine. So yes, I am a person that can cut things cold turkey. I've gone months without having a drink just because I'm like, nah, I don't feel like having a drink. So you're talking to the wrong person about being able to cut off stuff cold turkey.
Right. I mean, look, yes, I am talking the wrong. I'm the same way too. I can cut things off cold turkey. I have cut things off cold turkey. But there's a lot of people that can't. And it's very difficult. Once you get into a rhythm, once you get into doing something all the time in the exact same way, breaking that habit is very, very difficult. And baseball players are ones that have a very difficult time not having sunflower seeds in their mouth. We talked about this the other day when we were doing it before. I used to have a gigantic thing in the side of my mouth playing baseball of sunflower seeds. And that's how you play the game. And it felt right having it there. If you don't have that, it's a tough thing to get past.
I mean, I guess, whatever. I mean, the nicotine stuff I can understand. The nicotine stuff I can understand. But you know what? Be stronger of mind. That's what I would say. All right, the nicotine one, I'll give you a pass on a little bit. But you know what? You can still dip some other time, just not when you're playing games. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's ways to do that. Like, you could still get your nicotine fix in other ways.
Look, getting rid of sunflower seeds is not the reason to not play baseball. So I'm
right. So get out of here, Gabe Kapler. And when would you ever side with a Giant?
No, I would not sign with the Giants, especially not Gabe Kapler, although he was with the Dodgers for a little bit in the front office. But no, he's been really bad.
Laura, what do you think of this nonsense? A tremendous challenge.
I mean, when you send that to us, I said, get the out of here, because it's ridiculous. Dude, we all have habits that we need to break, and it's possible. And there's people that are doing way harder things to go to work than you not spitting or eating your seeds. Like, calm down. Just take a seat. Fall back.
Get out of here, Gabe Kapler. Get out of here. Get out of here, I said. All right, Tim in Pasadena, if you do not answer this damn phone right now, you are out of here too, like Gabe Kapler.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Tim in Pasadena!
Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah.
God bless America.
I don't, this is not me. I think you were muting, George. Something was going on there.
I have no control. I'm sitting in my house.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I'll tell you this. Now I don't even feel like what I have to say is that important. I mean, I've hung on the line. Now I'm nervous that it's, big deal what I have to say.
God. All right, let's go. Let's hear it.
I feel the pressure. Well, I mean, you guys are missing the number one fictional president in American history. Donald Trump, man. Come on. Come on. How about that?
Tim, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. The joke landed for some. It will not land for all. We were talking about actual TV on-screen film presidents, not actual presidents. But thank you for the call. I get the joke you're making. I get it. I get it. And I'm sure half the audience actually in this town, maybe more than half the audience appreciates it. But there is a segment that will not.
But I'm glad we went to him. I'm glad we went to him three times for that.
Tim, you seem like a nice man. Feel free to call back some other time about something else. Patrick in Simi Valley. Patrick, go ahead.
Most presidential film president, I think, Morgan Freeman from Deep Impact.
Ooh, that's a good one. I didn't even you know what? I mean, Morgan Freeman in anything, Patrick, and thank you for the call, is probably deserving. I didn't even think about that. Maybe it's because Deep Impact wasn't such a good movie, and that's probably why it just didn't pop in my head. Mitch in L.A. Mitch, what do you got?
Hey, Georgie.
Hey, buddy.
Start drinking coffee again. I was going to say Morgan Freeman, but Morgan Freeman was also president in the Olympus Has Fallen movie.
Oh, that's right. He was. He was.
Like, he should be number one. He's the GOAT.
He's been president. Is he the only guy to be the president multiple times?
I mean, it's Morgan Freeman, of course. Like, why wouldn't he?
It's a good point,
too.
All right, Mitch, be safe, brother. All right, I didn't get to the Rams thing. Damn it! I swear I'll get to it. All right, we'll get to the Rams thing. Plus, so if you didn't hear what I had to say, the Rams are taking a page out of the Niners book. So we'll get to that. And there's also an interesting Lakers and Clippers list out there that we're going to tell you about that ESPN put together. That's coming up. Stick around. We're back in 2.5 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast with our friend Mina Kimes, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily with our friend Mina Kimes, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Mina's going to join us tomorrow at 11. Clint Yates is going to join us in about 10 minutes. Dave McMiniman is going to join us at 11:30 to talk about this Jared Dudley story, where all of a sudden players are going to be allowed to leave the bubble. Bergman, I didn't even ask you about that before I get to this Rams thing, and I swear to God I'll get to it this segment. But that just seems weird that the NBA Players Association would allow anyone to leave the bubble. Like, it just seems counterproductive. Like, I know that people – anyone that would do it is irresponsible to begin with, but the fact that you can – man, if you're the Players Association, like, you just have to tell your players, hey, man, if we want to play this season, you're going to just have to suck it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care if you have a Rodman on your team or not. Like, James Harden, like, you're not going to be able to go to the strip club. That's totally fine. You're going to have to be able to deal with it, which actually there's been notes put out there that says that James Harden plays better when there's not a strip club around. So that's probably better for the Rockets.
It's funny.
But, I mean, like, it doesn't matter. Just don't go anywhere. I believe Jared Dudley when he talks, because he's pretty real with everything
he
says.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, you can't go anywhere. Once you're in the bubble, you're in the bubble. That's how it has to be.
It would be unbelievably irresponsible. Like, how pissed would you be if one of the Lakers left the bubble?
I'd be pissed. I would be really upset because they're giving away any chance at a championship. I don't care if it's, you know, whoever it is in, on the team. Because then if they come back in, give it to somebody else. Just no. It's a bad idea all the way around.
We'll ask Clinton about that in a minute. We'll get to that. Real quick, though, did you see this story about, you know, I know we were joking about some stuff during the break about living in like a parallel universe sometimes. But there is an actual story out there about living in a parallel universe. So according to NASA, have you seen this story, the NASA story?
Yeah, it's incredible.
So NASA has discovered that there is a parallel universe to us, okay? It's crazy. Like, it just insane when you think about it. So it says NASA scientists detect evidence of parallel universe where time runs in the opposite way, basically, where time runs backwards, okay? It's a scenario straight out of the Twilight Zone, basically. So they've been working on an experiment in Antarctica, the NASA folks, and they detected an evidence of a parallel universe where the rules of physics are the opposite of our own. The concept of a parallel universe has been around since the early 60s, mostly in sci-fi and science fiction. But experts say they used a giant balloon to carry NASA's Antarctic Impulsive Transient Antenna, or ANITA, high above Antarctica, where the frigid dry air provided the perfect environment with little to no radio noise to distort its findings. And all of a sudden, it says here that the high energy that it created detected that it's coming down from space. So it implies that these particles are actually traveling backwards in time, suggesting that evidence of a parallel universe actually exists. So what if, let me ask you this, though. What if they're the ones running right and we're the ones running in the wrong direction? Like, what, I mean, if we're the upside down one?
I mean, that's what it feels like right now. So I wouldn't put it past anything.
Right. I mean, think about it. We're dealing with a pandemic after the last one was 100 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, it does feel like we're living in an alternate universe right now with everything that's happening. So what if those guys are the ones laughing at us going, yeah, that's what you get for that, for doing it your way.
Yeah, they got a whole utopia up there and we're sitting here like, we got to be stuck in our house.
I mean, Laura, what do you think? Do you think that we're running the right way or the parallel universe that NASA discovered is running the backwards?
Oh, man. I don't know. 2020 has been so crazy. The whole like flying UFOs that we couldn't know what was going
right.
on.
Right. They discovered UFOs a couple of weeks ago. Like literally, like the Pentagon said, those are unidentified flying objects.
And then, I mean, you just share some audio with us outside of the air. So I don't know.
Yeah, I can't air whatever we were talking about. But yes, it was weird. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, do you think there's an alternate George Sedano that's up in space right now that is like super nice and never says anything negative about anybody but like will never come to your aid when you need it?
So that's another Greg?
Well, I was going to say, because I feel like that George Sedano exists except for you.
Yeah, maybe that might be what it is. So maybe, yeah, exactly. So there's a
right. So in other words, the George Sedano in the parallel universe is actually much agrees with Greg on everything, and that's the only difference. Basically.
And doesn't look for the what he says wrong in every word.
What do you think the parallel universe Mason would be like?
Oh my God, he's like super normal. And
right. Just, yeah, like, that's just real, it. He's super normal. You nailed it.
Real calm.
Yeah. He's straight late mace, right? Straight lace mace. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. No cannabis, right? Yeah.
He talks to you when you're outside of work and he's just like, "Hey, what's going on? Everything's happy."
He's like super helpful towards everyone and super like generous in the sense of like he doesn't care about himself at all. Like he's just about helping others, right?
Right, yeah, and he doesn't want to be on TV, and he doesn't want his picture taken.
Oh my God, yeah, he doesn't want to be anywhere near celebrities. He's like, as a matter of fact, like he's hiding. He walks around in costume, yeah, because he doesn't want to be recognized. Yeah.
Well, do you think the alternate John Ireland is like super poor?
Oh yeah, for sure. He's like homeless, basically. Yes, yes. Alternate John Ireland is homeless. There's no question about that. Yeah, yeah. What is alternate Keyshawn? Alternate Keyshawn is a guy who...
Super humble.
A guy who didn't make the league, right? But just like, it's like, oh, shucks. But he's like, He's like Clark Kent, right? Instead of Superman, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, you know, got the glasses on. He wears a suit every day to work, right? He doesn't wear board shorts, right?
Right. Oh man, it was.
He's like the black Clark Kent, right? That's what the parallel universe Keyshawn is. I think we can have fun with this. 877-710-ESPN. Here's the thing on the Rams, real quick. So Lindsay Theory had a story today about the Rams running back position, which Greg Bergman has all been out of shape about. Like, oh my God, what are they going to do at running back? They draft a running back. Why did you draft a running back? So they're going to go by committee, it looks like the Niners. And by the way, that worked out pretty damn well for the Niners, right? When you look at their backfield last season.
My whole thing was defense. And I mean,
you did get Ben out of shape about the running game.
Well, because
too.
The running,
let's not dismiss that.
Well, because what happened with the running back position and Todd Gurley was it opened up the offense and it opened up the game plan for Jared Goff. But the whole problem that I was always having was the defense and that they didn't do much for the linebacker and core or the secondary.
And their secondary is fine. They've got Jalen Ramsey, for God's sake.
Right, but there's still other positions besides
John
one.
Jones, the third.
John Johnson, the third.
John
yeah.
Johnson, I'm sorry, the third.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but it's really just the middle of their defense that they are having an issue with.
Okay, we'll see what their player development looks like.
Yep.
So I've actually got Bill Barnwell, by the way, did his offseason rankings. Laura, how much time do we have here in the next break? Just tell me in my ear if you can. So Bill Barnwell did his offseason rankings, and he has – do you want to guess where he has the Rams?
He has them 15th.
Lower. As in, like, worse.
Right. Okay. Oh, wow. 22nd.
Lower.
Wow. 25th.
Lower.
No way. 30th?
28th.
Wow.
Where do you think he has the Raiders?
The Raiders first.
Don't be ridiculous.
17th.
Higher.
Oh, good. 13th.
15th. And
okay.
Then where do you think he has the Chargers? Bill Barnwell in his offseason.
32nd.
Ranking.
No, he has them at 20.
Higher.
17.
Higher.
No, last not one. 16.
10.
No. I disagree.
Deal with it. Deal with it, Raider boy.
Disagree. Disagree.
Deal with it. Deal with it. All right. Coming up next, Clint Yates is going to stop by. I didn't get to the Lakers-Clippers list. I want to talk to him about this Dudley thing that he disclosed about people being able to leave the bubble, the Paul Pierce top five. We'll get to all that stuff. We'll ask him about the parallel universe. And if you're a meat eater, they're coming for you. I'll explain what that means as well. Clint Yates joins us in 2.5 minutes.